It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
To play against Baltimore the way I wanted to, because last year I played for a team that was soft as f***. But there were some guys who were tough, but like for the majority of the team, there's not mentally tough individuals. We were a really good team, and then the injury bug hit us, and then after the injury bug hit us, we played the Titans. When we played Tennessee and lost to Tennessee, you can tell the heart and soul for that team disappeared. We didn't have any more guys that are going out more. Guys that are going to the strip clubs throughout the week, guys that are showing up to meetings late. You can just tell, like, the Miami culture is a reason why Miami will never be good. Like, Miami will never be a good football team. And I don't care. They will never be good because of the Miami culture. I think they have great players, but the culture's.
Got the body of a goddess. Got eyes but a pink and brown eyes.
Deshaun Elliott there. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. You know a little bit about this, Joe.
Damn, man, Deshaun Elliott. Good God almighty. Don't you have enough to worry about, man? You're getting ready to play the Ravens now that you're with the Steelers. Never win here in South Florida with the culture they have. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us. Kyle, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Joe. Was really hoping Deshaun Elliott would tell us how he really felt. But we're doing it anyway, so how's it going?
I'm great. Listen, this culture thing, I got to tell you, you know what people say about the Dolphins. And by the way, it's not the toughness thing, but the culture thing is what's going on. And I really thought Mike did a good job with the culture over there, but he's saying they're late, guys don't show up, they're in strip clubs every night, it's a culture that's been built. It's just, somebody says that to play here for Mike, it's just, there are people out there in South Florida, their Dolphin fans are going, yep, that's what he's doing over there, and because of this guy making these comments, I don't know. Listen, man, I hope they keep it going. Anyway, I want to get into all the good stuff with you. A real good win for the Miami Dolphins, who apparently weren't in clubs and were able to really focus while they're out there for a few days. What'd you think overall, especially on the defensive side of the ball? I thought Anthony Weaver was spectacular calling plays.
Yeah, I think Weave really took advantage to get some of the versatility back in the secondary, where you didn't have Kader Kohu, you had Javon Holland for a very limited stint after he first came back from an injury, and then he was missing time. And those two guys being back out there, you got a lot of exotic coverage shell rotations with having guys kind of lurking around the line of scrimmage. Like Javon Hollins walked up 3-4 yards from the line of scrimmage on one side of the line of scrimmage, and then he turns and bails out and he plays high post. And because he's athletic enough to do that, I don't think Marcus May or Jordan Poyer was going to give that to you on the menu. And then what they're doing with inverting coverages where Kohu's able to play deep half responsibility and Jalen Ramsey or a safety rotation can push down and kind of trap your throwing windows. It really forced Matthew Stafford to work for a lot of his progressions and completions that he took. So I thought they did a really nice job on the back end with all of the different variants of pre-snap to post-snap changing of the picture. And then Chop Robinson has come on pretty well. I'll give credit where credit's due. I think his last two games have been his best two games as a pro. And Zach Taylor, Calais Campbell dominated on the inside against the second round pick and two $16-plus million year interior offensive linemen. That it was some big deal that the Rams were getting two out of those three guys back. And you know, maybe some of it was that they had missed some time and hadn't played, but they whooped them pretty sufficiently in between the tackles.
Yeah, so I've been getting this, and it's a great question. And Tua talked about, yeah, this two shell or this two deep is really taking a lot of our stuff away. Tell me about the mystery of the two deep and Tyreek Hill. I'm having problems with it. I don't get it, so help me.
Yeah, what teams are doing, or you're seeing some teams do, is if Miami puts Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the same side of the line of scrimmage, usually you get in the red zone, and it's like a 3-by-1 set, and to the three-man side, they'll call a box, where there's like a shallow inside, a shallow outside, a high outside, and a high inside guy, and you're trying to leverage the three eligibles based off their releases. There's more than one occasion Miami's got Waddle and Hill on the same side, and they're boxing two guys. Like that's how they're choosing to combat the speed and just really playing with the roof. And in those instances, if you got four guys playing up over top of two, technically three, because you'll have a check down that swings out of the backfield as a behind the line of scrimmage option. You just do the math on what that means for the rest of the back end, right? And that's why I think you're seeing Jonnu Smith and Devon Achane have the receiving profiles that they have, because teams are just so committed to trying to neutralize the speed with numbers and leverage and extra bodies. And that's part of like a natural life cycle of every long-term NFL offense. You think about when Mahomes first came in and they hit all the explosive plays. And I'm not saying that this offense is the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but teams changed the way that they played when they played Pat to play a lot of too high and limit explosive plays to the extreme degree where I think Pat Mahomes' average air yards on a touchdown pass last year was like 4 yards. And that's just how they played that team. And I think the Dolphins are getting some of that experience, and they're finding more consistency with the ways in which they work through it. But now the challenge is keeping your featured players more involved in it with how you're using them, in spite of how teams are committed to playing against you.
Yeah, because what is going on right now with Tyreek Hill, a lot of stuff's happening behind the line of scrimmage. So that's been a problem. It didn't work. I thought the Rams did a really good job with that.
Yeah, their defense is really impressive. They have a lot of young, fast-to-flow, explosive guys. I came away very impressed with their personnel. And the variety of things that they did, and they did a lot of the same thing that we complimented Anthony Weaver on. The Rams did a lot of it to the Dolphins as well. So that was a good test, and that was they only had one possession in the third quarter. I didn't realize that until I went back and like did the game tape grading and really sat down and went play by play with the timestamp. So I know people look at like the yardage production and all that, but yeah, I think with the opportunities that you had in a clock control game where the game script flowed, where you were up multiple scores for most of the game, if not just 7 or 8 points, I thought the offense with the opportunities down the stretch did a really nice job, and they had three possessions and scored on all three of them, which it was the critique from the previous week against Buffalo when you needed points while trying to hold the lead.
I thought, Kyle, the O-line has been so good for the last four games until this game, but seemed to struggle, especially inside. What'd you think of, I guess Robert Jones was banged up and they finally took him out. Lester Cotton came in and he also had some problems. What'd you think?
So Robert had been trending pretty favorably in the last couple of weeks prior to this game. But I think there was some athleticism tests that came with the personnel that the Rams had with Braden Fisk from Florida State. Colby Turner was a third-round pick. Like, those are 290-pound, 295-pound, like, super explosive, twitchy guys. And that's a bad matchup for Rob, and it showed. And I thought Lester did admirably well coming in the second half. I thought he played significantly better than Rob Jones did. But I think some of it is a blend of the matchups that the Rams gave you as dynamic, young, talented players. I thought I missed Austin Jackson more than the guard play, because I think it totally neutered your ability to get pushed in the run game and get successful movement at the point of attack for your outside zone stuff. And that's the problem, obviously, with Austin going on IR for the season, it sounds like. That's a thing they're going to have to troubleshoot throughout the course of the next couple of weeks to figure out how they overcome that change in the dynamic on their offensive line.
David Long getting released. He got benched for the last two games. Anthony Walker's been playing really well. Did that surprise you, though? Something had to happen, right? Like a guy that got demoted was not happy, and it started to affect things at camp. That's the only thing I could figure why they let him go and didn't keep him as a backup. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm sure they did him a solid once they got Dotson off waivers from Seattle. If David in a contract year wants to have the opportunity to try to land on his feet and go play before he goes into the open market and hits free agency, once they got a player who could play more special teams, frankly, and once they felt comfortable with Walker, Dotson was primarily a special teams guy early in his career in Buffalo. So I think that gives you an extra element on special teams. There's the potential if somebody claims David for the rest of the season to clear up some salary cap space as a result of that. So I think Dotson opened the opportunity to give David an opportunity to go play somewhere else before he needs a new contract with a new team.
All right, let's talk about lefty. Tua Tagovailoa made some nice throws, but I didn't think obviously played nearly as well as he did against, I don't think anybody would argue, as well as he did against Buffalo. What'd you think of his play? I know he had the one fumble and the one interception.
Yeah, the sacks were frustrating. There were some opportunities underneath. I know situationally you're trying to get a first down, but it's just always kind of going to be a thing. I think with Tua, where it's never been a strength, it's just the consistency of taking those checkdowns, and the ball security has to be better. Right, and I think he did some really nice things off of structure to negate some of those negative plays. I thought he was fairly a neutral player. It was the worst game that I had him graded for this season from like a down-by-down consistency of execution, whether or not you're above or below expectations based on what was available to you, because he's taken sacks and having turnover with guys available underneath to just take completions, which he did really well the previous week against Buffalo. I thought this was the game where the Rams kind of dared you, if you were going to make a flash decision and throw where they knew you liked to throw, you were going to have to hold it for an extra split second. And it's kind of like the equivalent of if you're going to be a little late throwing an out route, you really got to be able to drive that ball. And like the interception, it's kind of off his back foot because he sees it, but he sees it just like a touch late, so he tries to slot it in there anyway. And the linebacker, they were playing Tampa 2, and his hips were open opposite of where Jalen Waddle was running. But because it's a tick late, the linebacker can open his hips back up and fall back across and get in front of Waddle's face. So it's just never really going to be a strength as those second reaction drive throws where you really got to hammer the ball in there. It's just never going to be a strength of his game. And I thought the Rams did a nice job of giving him some temptation on more than one occasion throughout the course of the game. But I thought his best throw of the game was a throw to Malik Washington there about the 45-yard line with 4 minutes left. They're trying to milk the clock. They're in formative offense. They want to possess. They just get the Odell Beckham completion on 3rd and 6. He's rolling out and gets that completion. They come out, and they kept getting rotation to Tampa 2 coverage where there's a hard corner that's up in the flat and then obviously a player who's up over the top. But Tua takes that snap and gives a little shoulder pump to pull that flat corner down. They ran a two-man combo with an out, a deep out, and a flat underneath of it. So he pumps the flat, and the corner sinks underneath of it, and then he immediately drives the throw to Malik Washington for a 17-yard completion to put him in scoring territory. And to do that in a four-minute offense situation on 1st and 10, where if it doesn't work, you stop the clock.
Yeah,
I thought that was a big-time throw. It was a big-time call for Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I thought Tua's play where he got out of the pocket and on 3rd and real long and able to get the Raheem Mostert down the sideline, just looking down. I thought that was just a hell of a play, man, was looking down the field the whole time. And, you know, he didn't like to throw it away, man. He likes to keep it alive and is looking to make a play all the time. What'd you think about the pick and going for the tackle? We've kind of been going. He made it clear that's what I'm going to do, so you guys can stop talking about it. What'd you think?
Yeah. You can tell me what Dan Marino used to do after interceptions. What do you do?
He watched some of them.
He watched some of them? If I'm to a, especially with where this season's at right now, I'd be a little bit more inclined to watch him, but he's going to do what he's going to do. So. And you're not going to be able to argue with him, reason with him. He wants to be a football player and go out and make a football play. You just hope that those situations don't come anymore. And like Tua said and Mike McDaniel said, well, don't throw any more interceptions like that and you won't have that problem.
Yeah, no. I got you. Yeah, by the way, Dan would kind of jog over there, and then if the guy talked to him and talked trash to him, he was on a mission to throw like two or three touchdown passes against that guy by the time the game was over. He held a grudge even during the game, man. It was great. No, he didn't care. Like, okay, you got that one? A guy in the Rams was talking trash to him after intercepting. He said, okay. He made it a point to go after that guy every chance he got, man. Every chance he had, he wanted to set up and just make the guy look like an idiot, just a complete idiot. Hey, always great having you, Kyle. Really appreciate it. Who had the highest grade, by the way, for you? Who would have been best player of the game for you? I'm just curious.
So I thought Zach Sealer, Calais Campbell played off the charts.
Yeah,
those again. Two guys scored extremely well for the Dolphins. And the offense was kind of – everybody was collectively down from the previous week, but those two guys on the interior defensive line, like those were both – both of those guys had top five individual game performances for a defensive player all season long. Like they to put that
it's amazing. Perspective. You know what? My eyeballs tell me the same thing, that Calais and Zach are just at a different level. Kyle, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Of course, Joe. Talk
all
to
right.
you soon.
Kyle Crabbs, the host of Locked On Fins podcast, always breaking down everything, evaluates, grades, draft. I mean, he's doing it all there and does has some really great stuff. If you get a chance. Hey, we got more stuff. Mark Ross from NFL Network's going to join us. Kim Bocamper's going to be in this morning as well, so we'll be talking to him. So we've got a lot of stuff left. But before I do, hey, man, you heard us talking about it. It's this Saturday. Men have to be strong. Men have to be tough. Men don't need – we don't need to get checkups. We don't need to go to the doctor. That was old school, man. But when it comes to our health now, we need to be smart, especially when you're 45 years or older. That's why I invite you to join Alonzo Mourning and other special guests, including Dan Marino and Ed Jovanovski, at the Miami Heat Men's Health Summit and learn how to take a proactive approach to your health from some of the country's most renowned health experts. I know my man Dr. Swartzen, who I believe in, is going to be there. You can enjoy fun activities, giveaways, raffles for autograph prizes, and more. There's no time to waste. Come and get health screening like Alonzo Mourning did. And by the way, it saved his life. It can save yours. It's go time. It's Zo time. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/Zotime. That's baptisthealth.net/ZOTIME. Hey, don't forget, it's this Saturday, November 16th, 9:30 a.m. to 12 at the Kaseya Center in Miami. 2.5 hours to get down there, get checked out. Say hello to the guys while you're there as well.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Time for weather, brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 78 degrees, partly cloudy, no rain in the forecast. The Joe Rose Show continues, but first, let's head out west for a quick update.
Well, thanks, Hollywood. Hello, everybody. Mike Hunt here, and it's great to be back with you after taking a week off at my lake house on beautiful Lake Titicaca. The Milpitas Trojans are heading down the home stretch and hoping to sneak through the back door into the playoffs. Friday night's game will be presented by our friends at Butts Bakery. All fans in attendance will receive a coupon for 69% off their next order. Make sure to visit Butts on Main Street in the heart of Milpitas. Hope to see everyone there tomorrow night. But for now, let's send it back to 7-0 Bo and 7-seed Joe back in Miami.
The sevens. You know, seven brothers together.
I saw Mike Hunt. I think he's been eating too many donuts from Butts Bakery.
Well,
he's a little rotund out there. You got a little belly fat on him now.
What was that lake again?
No, that's not in Milpitas. That's like in Argentina or Bolivia or somewhere.
Yeah, right. Mike has his vacation.
I think that's in Brazil, to be honest.
Yeah. That's exactly where it is. Yeah.
Mike's got a 10-foot John boat on Lake Titicaca. He brings a family out with him.
You know what? Woody, you and your friends have way too much time.
I was a little childish.
Really,
I'm sorry.
Like you took
a little childish.
We'll get you some maturity
you
pills.
You just understanding that?
I had 2 weeks to marinate on that one. So.
So I actually, when we were in L.A., I ran across a couple guys from Milpitas.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. There was one guy. Remember the guy we met in? He's like from Pleasanton. He met.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy that does come. You're right.
So he brought another guy. He goes, oh, there's a guy here that was Milpitas. He knew all about you and stuff.
I did.
So I'm talking to him. He goes, where'd you live? I lived on Abbott Avenue. Oh, I know where Abbott Avenue is. And so we talked about the whole place.
You know, it's funny you said that because he did. He brought his family to another game, and he got there. I saw him.
Yeah, we saw him in Seattle.
That's right.
Then he was down for the L.A. game.
He's a hardcore fan, but you're right, man. He knows that Milpitas area pretty damn well. So, Bo, good win, man. I don't want to take away from the stuff from Deshaun Elliott yesterday that got it stirred up. Apparently, that's all that Coach was asked about was the culture and all the things that were said. And
how many times has that happened over the last course of the last couple of years where the culture has come into question? Jordan Poyer, when he came here, talked about,
soft.
Hey, you know, once you get these guys down, you know they're going to fold, you know, which wasn't a very, you know, very good thing to say. And then you got Deshaun Elliott coming out there and really throwing some people under the bus.
Man, so here it is, Bo. Bo was just asking me, go ahead, we're going to play it for you.
I haven't been able to play against Baltimore the way I wanted to because last year I played up for a team that was soft as f***. But there were some guys who were tough, but like for the majority of the team, they're not mentally tough individuals. We were a really good team, and then the injury bug hit us. And then after the injury bug hit us, we played the Titans. When we played Tennessee and lost to Tennessee, you can tell the heart and soul for that team disappeared. We didn't have any more guys that are going out more. Guys that are going to the strip clubs throughout the week. Guys that are showing up to meetings late. You can just tell, like, the Miami culture is a reason why Miami will never be good. Like, Miami will never be a good football team. And I don't care. They will never be good because of the Miami culture. I think they have great players, but the culture's.
Wow. That's a little bit of an indictment, huh?
Well, so I said this. So this has been the knock on. We talked about it's too much of a party over there. It's too loose.
Yep.
And, you know, and those guys kind of do what they want. I don't know because I'm not there, but he does. He played and he saw it. He saw it up close.
Well, this is two times. You know, this is two times where people have kind of intimated that. Like Poyer again, and then this and this a little more scathing than what Poyer said. And Joe, look, you and I know, you know, Miami's. You know, so I remember when the Heat first came into town. It was the team would come in here and they'd have the. They'd have the Miami Beach. They'd have the vodka virus from being out in South Beach.
Oh, yeah, guys.
All night.
Openly
South Beach
would
was,
say they
South
had
South Beach
hangovers.
Was one of the great home court advantages
no
for them. And so that nightlife is there. But, you know, the Dolphins are up more. They're not a Miami Beach team now. They're up in Broward County for the most part. Now, guys might filter down there. But And Joe, let's not kid ourselves. Let's not put ourselves, you know, we weren't this guy. But look, our guy, we would go out at night. We would go out in the evenings. We would do that, you know. And, you know, guys would go to strip joints, and guys would do that. You're 20 something years old, and you're making a decent amount of money, and so that's going to happen. But I don't think that I've seen. I don't think I ever saw. I played for Coach Shula for 10 years. I don't think I ever saw maybe more than one person late for a meeting. Ever. 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 Never late for a meeting. Never late for a game.
By the way, even the really good players.
Even the really good players. Now, the good players maybe took some advantage other ways. But when it came to being there on time, being at the meetings, and doing all those types of things, That to me is a phenomenon that has happened over the last decade, where these younger players are coming in. Like I was talking to you earlier, there was a coach that I spoke to that played in the league, and he said, we have this rookie, and he keeps coming late. And I go, coming late? He's a rookie? And I asked him, he was in the league for about 12 years. I said, you played for 12 years. How many times were you late for a meeting? Zero. I'll ask you right now, Joe, how many times were you late for a meeting?
No shot.
I've never been late for a meeting. in any time I played football. And the vast majority of people I know, that to me is concerning, because I've heard a little bit of it myself with this team that, you know, that makes you feel that coming late,
it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. Which hearing that coming from somebody else that played on that team, it is a little discerning.
Well, so anyway, whatever it is, they got to keep winning, because I don't know if you heard, because 7-0, I pulled that we're in for the seven seed. They've been busting my chops. I think they win these next two games. They're going to be real close to that Denver Broncos team at 5-5.
Yeah, I get that. And then, look, they played a good game this week.
Real good on defense.
Defensively.
Good enough on offense.
Joe, the one thing about that game, first play, they kick off first play, and Zach Sealer set the tempo for that game on the first snap of the ball. 10-yard loss. You know, almost knocked the ball. You know, almost could have been a fumble, a sack, or a strip fumble, and then you got Calais batting balls down like he's playing badminton.
You just
talked
about two best players on the team.
Calais comes up with a sack. Chop had his best game.
Yep.
And I've seen some changes. I saw a big change out of Chop in what he's kind of widened out a little bit.
He is playing wider.
Playing a little bit wider. It's helped him. And you know what? Because I actually talked to him after the game. A little bit, and I said, "Hey, Chop, now you didn't, you know, good job, you know." He goes, "Thanks." I said, "So you widened out a little bit?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, I widened." I go, "Yeah, give you a little two-way go, right?" And he said, "Yeah, he did." You know, I'm glad to see him doing that.
Those tackles open up.
You get
scary,
that? If you're a pass rusher, you like that guy's got to come to you. You know, with the way how tight Chop was lined up. I'm talking about the width between the outside foot of the tackle and where you're at. He was pretty close to that tackle. All they had to do was take a step out.
He had him locked on.
Now all of a sudden the guy's got to come out to him, and there's a lane inside and there's a lane outside. So that helped for him. But let's not kid ourselves, Joe. We're a three-win football team.
No, we are.
And everybody, and I guarantee you in the Oakland Raider, or I mean the Vegas. LA Raider, I can't. I got to go through Oakland, Vegas. Or
LA,
Las
Vegas. Yeah, no.
I
got
to go
thing.
Three to
yeah.
get to. I got to go Oakland, LA,
Oakland,
back to Oakland, then LA, Vegas. Then Vegas yeah, right. to get there, right? But I guarantee you in that locker room, they're saying, hey, we got a chance to win this game. They got the same amount of wins as we do.
No, they do.
Got a chance to win that game, right?
But
so the Dolphins have to. They have to continue. The one thing that you can see, I've seen now over the last month from this Dolphins since Tua came back, every game they've got progressively better.
Yep.
Right? Incrementally better in each and every game.
Yeah. And by the way, they're way up, obviously, in points, so doing better. Hey, we're going to have a lot more. Bo's going to be with us till the end of the show. Mark Ross from NFL Network and an analyst will join us when we come back. We'll have that for you. But first, I got to tell you, it's still hurricane season, and Loctite, the Chev, the CEO over there, says, hey, Joe, tell them about Loctite. Tell them about their impact windows, doors, and even roofing. We want to take care of all of it for them here. And if something's holding you back, and you go, well, we're trying to get through another year, but all you can really do with all the storms we get is protect your home. That's the only thing you can control. And he's got 100% financing, zero down, impact windows, doors, and roofing, no interest, no payments for a year, if that will help. They do it all. The roofing part of the company is just as good as the impact windows and doors that they can install for you. They do it all. Very competitive prices, great work, and ready to help you today. Hey, don't wait for the next storm. Loctite services the whole Tri-County area, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. Take care of all the permits and HOA approvals. They really do it all for you. Loctite is a licensed and insured contractor. So if you're looking around, you haven't decided what you're going to do, get that first conversation going with Loctite. 954-500-LOCK. Hey, Joe Rose said I should call you guys. 954-500-LOCK. Let Chev and his team take good care of you today.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, and joining us, friend of the show for a long time now, Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst, joins us. You can see Mark on NFL Network's NFL Game Day Live, Sunday at 1 o'clock. Mark, nice to have you back. How you doing?
Hey, excellent. Always a pleasure.
Man, we appreciate it. So I got to get the now that everybody's doing podcasts, can we get the drama part? Deshaun Elliott comes out and gets into the culture. We'll never win here. Guys are late. It's a disaster. Guys quit. I mean, he didn't call any names, but he just said they'll never win there, no matter what. He talked about us getting our ass kicked by Baltimore last year, and guys were in strip clubs, and it affected the last. he hit the whole thing, man.
The soft comment. Don't forget that either.
Yeah, the soft. All right. Listen to you adding everything. So let me ask you, what's your take on, first of all, I don't know why, guy, you're in a great situation. You're playing for Pittsburgh. You're rolling. Why do that? But second of all, it has been, some of that stuff's been a knock on this team, as you know. So just a bad time after a good win for the Dolphins, and that's what the coach had to deal with yesterday since he's the culture. Well, what'd you think?
Yeah, that's never good when you got an ex-player saying that. And what do they say? There's always a little bit of truth in things like that. So, yeah, it'd be one thing if it was out of the blue and people were surprised. But I think probably down there in Miami, a lot of people say, yeah, maybe some of these things we've seen with this team. But, you know, you never want distractions, and you always just want to play games and focus on the game and avoid as many distractions as possible, and especially coming from ex-players when he really had no business talking about that at that point. I don't know if he's got an axe to grind. I don't know if he's mad or he just was saying it off the cuff, whatever. But, you never want to deal with distractions, and unfortunately they had to deal with that instead of focusing on the next one.
Let me add, I know the game's a lot different. Heck, Mark, even when you were in the front office, times have changed a lot, and I understand it, and players – have a lot more say-so, and they're a lot more connected, and we've seen players get together and go, we can't play for this guy. We're losing because of him, and we're seeing guys losing their jobs and stuff. But I got to tell you, my one pet peeve, I can't speak for you, guys being late for meetings drives me nuts.
Yeah, and that's the thing, growing up in scouting, in the scouting world, and when you evaluate players, and I always talk about there's – things on the field you can't control, how tall you are, how fast you are, all that, but there's things you can control, and that's being a professional, and that's playing hard, and that's being accountable, and those were always the traits you look for in players when we drafted them or even brought them in as free agents is those tangible things that, yes, these are the things that you can control and should just be a prerequisite of being a professional on this team, and coaches and front office people always love those kind of players, and when you have people late or not being accountable, that drags down the whole. I think culture is pretty much overused word, but that is what it really talks about, that sort of cultural aspects of you have to be accountable to yourself, your teammates, your head coach and your coaching staff and the whole organization. And when you don't have that, you have losing results.
Mark, the Dolphins get back to 3-6 with a nice win. They're by far their best of the three wins, being able to beat LA out there 23-15. How do you look at this team right now? Defense played their ass off and didn't give up a touchdown the last game, but overall where they are right now, and do you feel they have a chance still for that seventh spot at 3-6 right now?
Yeah, well, that's the disappointing thing. When you talked about we talked about backup quarterbacks, and if your quarterback gets hurt, and we know Tua has the lengthy injury history, and you really just want your team to kind of keep you afloat while your starter is out. And I mean, as you guys saw, they didn't stay afloat. They were sinking bad in those games. They looked totally non-competitive in those games, and they won the New England game. But, you shouldn't have that, and that's really a testament to if you're so reliant on one guy for everything to go on both sides of the ball, that's just not a good situation. Now, that being said, as you mentioned, they're still not out of it. It would take a miracle, but they're still not out of it for the seventh spot. I think six spots are completely, completely locked up with the division winners and then whoever the second team that comes out of the Central, either between Pittsburgh or the Ravens. And I think the Chargers has one of those spots locked up.
Yep.
So you're really looking at – when I look at Miami's schedule, I think realistically they can get to eight wins. Now, how that plays out against the Bengals and the Colts and the Broncos for that last spot, it'll come down to the end. But, overall, they should have been able to stay afloat a little bit better when Tua was out of there.
Oh, no question. That will be the number one question. Why weren't we better prepared as a backup? And I'm guessing there will be a lot more priority put on the backup position next year for sure. Speaking of quarterbacks, I don't know. I can only speak. Aaron Rodgers drives me nuts. He went to Berkeley. And I got to tell you, I've never seen a guy that talks about he's got all these set rules about, hey, you know, let's keep all our business inside the locker room and let's do this. And he's a big, like, to me, he's the biggest problem they have, even though they have a lot of guys not playing well on defense either. But what's your take on the Jets?
I haven't been on this Jets thing for 2 years. Even last year coming in when they first signed him, I was not buying it. And I'm on record on shows talking about, like, this is not going to work. And I just never understood the overall fascination with Aaron Rodgers these last couple of years and thinking he's going to turn back Father Time. And, you know, I saw the slippage there with Green Bay, and certainly, like, I've been around a lot of players, and especially quarterbacks, when they hit the wall, they go down. They don't come back up. And I saw those signs of he has to get the ball out of his hand quick. He couldn't make the plays moving around like he once could. So I never really bought into the Jets, and then even more so this year coming in, a 40-year-old guy coming off an Achilles. I was like, this team is going nowhere. But you know, it's been a disaster. And for him to hold no accountability whatsoever for all of that he's created there, bringing in coaches, bringing in players, getting guys fired, and then still not taking the accountability, I just don't get the fascination of the positivity with Aaron Rodgers. Everyone's still giving this guy the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You're looking at what's going on there week in and week out, day in and day out, and people are still defending him. And it, to me, it's just it's bizarre and mind-boggling because it's easy for me to see that this guy has been the focal point of all that is going wrong there.
I think everybody sees it, you know, but the other part of this, they're so desperate for a quarterback. They literally handed him whatever he needed. Yeah. And I know he didn't talk to the owner. The owner just wanted to see how he was feeling, but they didn't talk about any moves that might be made with the coach or anything. I'm sure that never happened. So
No.
That never came up.
And 5 minutes later, the coach got fired. No, I didn't bring that up at all.
Yeah.
No way.
I can look right at you. I didn't know anything about it. I was just like all the other guys. I was very surprised.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine. I like him. You know, he's a good guy. Yeah, okay.
Please keep him. Yeah. I'm going to go against what you said, Aaron.
Go on. Hey, speaking of the young quarterbacks here for a second, this quarterback class overall, Jaden Daniels been unbelievable. Bo Nix has surprised me of all the quarterbacks on how well he's played in that Denver offense. What about for you?
Yeah, and then when he got drafted, I had said that right or wrong or indifferent with taking Bo Nix there for Sean Payton, he fit what Sean Payton did, and that was with Drew Brees. Of course, there's only one Drew Brees, but the style of read the defense quick, get it out quick, you know, get to your reads, and that's what Bo Nix did really well at Oregon. It really was all of his game was doing that. So you had a guy who played that way in college, with a head coach who coaches that way, and I just thought it was a really good match of what a coach does, what a player does well, whether it works out or not in the long run. But he, yes, that it's not a surprise that he's doing well in that system because that's the way he plays. And, of course, Jaden Daniels, I mean, what can you say? I mean, he's
ridiculous.
He's just been phenomenal. And, you know, I really thought it was razor thin coming into the draft between him and Caleb. And I'm surprised Caleb has struggled this much, but I think that's more a testament to just how disastrous that Bears organization is year in and year out with turning through coaches, GMs, quarterbacks, and you know, Jaden's just been phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I do. I'm with you. I think it's system and talent around them, and no one's had success there. And by the way, you know what happens. As soon as the head coach lets the coordinators go, you know what the next thing to go is.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
Right behind it is going to be the old head coach to follow.
Yep. Yeah, you got to throw somebody under the bus. And, you know, you're the one that hired the guy. So, you know, you shouldn't be firing them midseason. But we saw that there. And Vegas has had that as well. My guy Antonio Pierce, you know, the head coach was the captain of our Giants defense there for the Super Bowl. But, yeah, once the coordinator goes, it's the other team to follow. And Shane Waldron, for that, the play that, to me, when they tried to go play in Washington, speaking of Jaden Daniels, they got the game in hand, DeAndre Swift running all over the field. They get down to the goal line. Well, let's run this backup center dive play here that we've never seen since the Refrigerator Perry days. You know,
right.
And to me, I was on air. I said, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this can't be real that this is happening. And I said, this guy should never call another play in the NFL again. And the head coach that gives the okay for that shouldn't. Well, it took 2 weeks later, but now he may not at least for this year.
Yeah, the kiss of death for sure. Hey, you evaluate a lot of college quarterbacks. We got a guy down here in our backyard. In Cam Ward, have you had a chance to watch him throw the ball around a little bit?
Yeah, you know, the guy is supremely talented, as you've seen. He's athletic, he's mobile, he can really sling it, and there is still a lot of development for him as far as the reading the defenses and the consistency factor. You know, I got to dig in a lot more, but just seeing him a little bit. I watched him last year, actually, when he was kind of talking about coming out, and but, you know, he's going to be an intriguing and controversial prospect coming into the whole draft process. And I'm sure we'll talk about him a whole lot on the network.
Yeah, no, that's going to be an interesting one. We've watched him down here make some throws that are just absolutely ridiculous. He's got a strong arm. He's got the quick release. And he can run a little bit. And then he's made some mistakes not holding on to the ball, which was a knock on him before he got here. But, man, he got a chance to be a first-round pick, though. I'll leave you with that. Would you say that's a chance that could happen?
Oh, yeah, just – you know, the desperation for quarterbacks is really will get them in there anyway. Just we see it year in and year out, and at this time, they're even talking, well, none of these guys are first-round picks, or some of them aren't. By the time the draft gets there, they're all going to be in the first round. They're all going to get taken because everybody needs one, and they're going to be desperate for them.
Yeah. Hopefully the kid can stay out in New York and New York, man, with those two teams. Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, Mark, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure.
I'll leave you with that one right there. Thanks. Mark Ross. Mark from the NFL Network analyst with him. You can see Mark on NFL's Network. NFL Game Day Live Sunday starting at 1 o'clock Eastern. So we'll have a lot more stuff. Kim Bocamper's with us, going to join us here for this 9 o'clock hour. We got a lot of stuff to get to here, man. A lot of stuff. I'm not giving up on that 7 spot, man. I feel better about that 7 spot than a lot of people do. My neighbor came out and started screaming at me last night. Said, I can't believe you're really saying it. He's a diehard fan. He goes, you're pushing the 7 spot? Are they paying you extra? I go, no, I believe it. We started yelling. Our wives told us to stop. It was getting ugly. But I'll tell you what's not ugly is going to Baptist Health South Florida. Boy, I'll tell you what. They've got one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. I talk about it all the time. Where do the pros go when they get injured in this town? Enter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU. They see it all. High school, college, and professional athletes every day. And you start looking at some of the top specialists that Dr. Uribe and those guys have put together for the knee and the shoulder and foot and ankle and hand and back and hip and knee replacement, Achilles. They got the body covered. Any kind of injury you've had, they see and fix every day. We got 3 great facilities in South Florida for you. Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, at Hard Rock Stadium right next to the practice facility, and 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One go every day. It's about getting you healthy, playing the sports you love the most.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.